evangelist for the Church of Christ in Richmond, Kentucky.
I'd like to ask you a question. What do you think a person misses by being a Christian? This is not intended to be a trick question. Christianity is of such a nature as to demand a person to miss out on some things he might like to do. So, what do you miss by being a Christian? The answers are probably not what you might be expecting. If you would like to follow along in the Scripture as we answer this question, turn to Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. The passage reads as follows. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. This passage sounds a bit harsh. However, the intention of the passage is not to present Christianity in a harsh light. The intention of the passage is to show the consequences of following Jesus. Anytime someone accepts Jesus and others refuse him, there is a natural gap created between them. This is the meaning of the text. Jesus does not intend for this to happen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 declares that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Since God desires all to be saved, he certainly did not send Jesus to cause division intentionally so as to subject some to being lost. On the contrary, the coming of Jesus was to give people who were already lost the opportunity to be saved. Jesus brought with him salvation and declared that those who become Christians have the opportunity to enjoy that salvation. This is where the thought for this study begins. What will you miss by being a Christian? Well, in the first place, I would like to suggest to you that by being a Christian, you will miss out on many things that are really fun. Sin is fun. I know that sounds rather strange coming from a preacher, but it is true. No one would ever sin if it were not enjoyable, at least initially. The bright lights and beautiful people offer the possibility of fast and fun times. But fun is often the lure Satan uses to sink his hook into a person's life. Once hooked by this device, getting out is very tough, and staying in often ceases to remain fun. Jesus' words recorded in verse 34 of Matthew 10 show that adopting the things Jesus says causes some difficulties. Notice what the verse says. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Isn't it interesting that Jesus would say these words when it was said of him by the angels at the announcement of his birth, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Jesus' words in the text of this study certainly do not sound like following him is always going to be fun. On the contrary, faithfulness to him, he says, is divisive. Jesus was not here stating the intention of his words. He was stating the fact about the results of his words. They would indeed cause trouble. His words are like a sword. Those who accept them divide themselves from all those who do not accept them. The Bible records a number of examples of people who, through faithfulness, were separated from everyone else and thereby missed some really fun things. Moses is one example. The Bible records in Hebrews 11, 24 and 5, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. This passage very clearly states that Moses missed enjoying the pleasures of sin because of his choice of faithfulness. Though this text says that the pleasures of sin are a passing thing, they are pleasurable nonetheless. The Bible does not state what pleasurable things Moses missed because of his faithfulness to the God of his fathers. However, we do know that he had been adopted by the daughter of the Pharaoh of Egypt. Through this family, he certainly had access to the very best that Egypt had to offer to anyone. Furthermore, he certainly had at his disposal all the wealth he needed to partake of whatever he desired. Therefore, his choice to give up all of that to remain faithful to the training he had received from his parents at a very early age is rather astounding in itself. His choice was to give up all of the pleasurable things offered in the empire of Egypt. Another example is found in Daniel 1:8 through 13. There we find four faithful servants of God: Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah — you probably know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego — and Daniel. Now, these men chose to follow the food regulations placed on them by God. They passed up the king's delicacies for vegetables and water in order to remain faithful to God. It would have been much more enjoyable to eat whatever rich food the king offered them, but it was right to avoid it and remain faithful. It is difficult to sit on the sidelines and see that others are enjoying some things that are really fun to do. However, those who choose to be Christians are called to miss many fun things that are either opposed to Christianity or are in competition to it. On the other hand, Christianity is joy. Joy is deeper than fun and happiness. It flows from the depths of one's heart, regardless of the outside circumstances. James 1:2 through 4 tells us about this joy. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." While the outward circumstances might not be good and might even be absolutely difficult, Christianity offers one a joy that does not end. In the second place, by being a Christian, you miss out on a life filled with easy decisions. The world is filled with people who want everything to be easy. In their search for ease, such people use a number of tactics to avoid making a decision that is difficult. In their search for ease, people often compromise. To compromise is to give up part of your values and adopt some of the values of others. Compromise becomes a temptation when one is placed in a difficult situation. The difficulty comes from the fact that whatever decision is made, someone will be unhappy. Compromise in this situation is an attempt to avoid being perceived as cruel. None of us wants to think we are mean and ugly. We don't want others to think that we're cruel. It's difficult when others think we're cruel. Therefore, compromise seems to be a good alternative. In their search for ease, people often attempt to avoid altogether making a decision. They somehow believe that if they avoid making a decision, the situation will pass and allow them to save face. Through ignoring the situation or delaying within the situation, they bury their heads in the sand and wait for the whole thing to blow over to spare them the difficulty of having to make a decision. The problem is, though, that these decisions do not go away. They will still need to be faced. It is not easy being a Christian because there are some very tough decisions to be faced. Again, in their search for ease, people often are simply careless. Carelessness causes people to make quick decisions without adequate thought. Their main goal is to make a decision quickly. They do not want to spend the time and energy to investigate thoroughly and come to an informed decision. It is, for them, just too hard to research and find the best decision when a quick decision cuts down the time and workload. The problem with this is that such haste is often heavily influenced by the majority opinion. A quick decision that agrees with the majority opinion is much easier, but it is not always right. In verses 35 through 37 of our text from Matthew 10, we find that the results of following Jesus' words are often devastating. The verses again read, "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Because of a decision to follow Jesus, families are at times divided, making enemies out of those who formerly were one's closest associates. Again, this was not the intention of Jesus, but rather a natural result that often occurs when some accept his words and others reject them. To accept the words of Jesus, knowing that there will be others, sometimes from one's own family, who will turn against you, is a difficult thing. Those who do not choose to be Christians never have to face that difficult decision. The decisions Christians make are required to face, they're tough. God is to be first in every decision. This means they will often be forced to sacrifice personal wants and desires. So, if you decide to be a Christian, you will miss out on a life filled with easy decisions. Third, by being a Christian, you will miss out on soft and light burdens. People of the world create their own burdens. These are designer burdens. People of the world take upon themselves what burdens they choose to take. The field from which to choose these burdens is limited only by themselves. They can take as much or as little as they want. Their decisions will be based on what makes them feel good and look good to others. Furthermore, when what they've chosen ceases to fit them any longer, that is, it is no longer soft and light, they merely get rid of it. They then are free to design another burden, expecting it to be lighter and softer than the one they just gave up. We see evidence of this all around us. Many myriads of marriages end just because the two are unwilling to face the difficulties that have surfaced. Since difficulties are not soft and light, their recourse is divorce. Then they often contract other marriages expecting them to be better. What they find, however, are many of the same difficulties they had in the first marriage, compounded by the weight of a divorce. Others have a problem in the job market. They quit job after job because they do not like one thing or another. Their search for a soft and light job is always frustrated because work is just that way, difficult. Still others cheat their way through school because it is easier than putting forth the effort to study. This attempt to short-circuit the learning process soon proves to be a bad choice when you're asked to apply what your grades say you have the ability to do. Studying is more difficult, but it is also more rewarding. Furthermore, the whole abortion controversy exists because of the claim that women ought to have the right to do with their bodies whatever they please. They want to be free of the burden of carrying a child they have helped to create because it does not suit them in this particular time. Taking responsibility for their own actions gives way to the easy way out. However, this too is a misnomer. Just ask the thousands of women who suffer the lingering mental effects of such a dastardly deed. Jesus, in verse 38 of this passage, instructed those who are faithful to him that they are to take up a cross and follow him. "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me," Jesus said. This too is a designer cross. It is not, however, designed by the individual. It is designed by Jesus himself. A Christian is one who accepts what God expects of him and from him. He is not free to set it aside and still claim to be faithful. Neither is he permitted to take up a replacement cross, for there are none. Thus, while the rest of the world is searching for that soft and light burden, Christians carry their crosses designed by God. You will, therefore, by being a Christian, miss out on those soft and light burdens and be required to bear a cross. Fourth and finally, by being a Christian, you will miss getting a whole bunch of things you would really like to have. Those who are not attempting to follow God are only limited by themselves when it comes to the subject of attaining possessions. Things are rated by whether they like them or not. Cost is judged by what they are willing to pay to get them. Possessions have become one of the defining traits of a person's life. There is a popular bumper sticker that states it very well. Whoever dies with the most stuff wins. Life, for many people, is a mad race to get as many things as they can. This approach reminds me very clearly of the lifestyle of an infant. Its only motive in life is to get what it wants and to get it now. A baby only knows what it wants and makes sure that everyone around knows it. Adults who spend their time and money pursuing possessions are infantile in their desires, and everyone around them knows it. Life for these people is also about getting the latest and greatest of whatever it is. When the newest model hits the market, they dispose of the older model for no better reason than that it is the older model. If it does not matter, if it works, it's not the top of the line and therefore it's obsolete. This seems to be the sentiment of Jesus' words in verse 39. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The person described here as he who finds his life is the person who defines for himself what life is. His only concern is about the here and now with no thought whatever to the hereafter. This person, Jesus said, will lose his life. Christians, by contrast, are willing to lose their lives for God. That is, they are willing to set aside the rush for possessions that define life and allow God to define what life is to be about. Why do Christians miss out on many of the possessions of the world? First of all, Christians very often miss out on many things they would like to have because they only get what God approves of. There are many things God simply says are not for a Christian. Even though those things might be attractive and alluring, if God does not approve, a faithful Christian does not get them. Furthermore, Christians very often miss out on many things they would like to have because they get things for themselves out of the leftovers from giving to God and to others. Since Christians put God first, they give to Him first and give also to others. This self-sacrificing is part of Christianity. It is obvious then that Christians will not have as much money to use to get things as others do who care not for God. Therefore, Christians miss getting many things they would like to have because they are giving to God and to others who are in need before they buy many things for themselves. Finally, Christians very often miss out on many things they would like to have because they have a significantly different mindset as to what is truly valuable and necessary. Earthly possessions are just not that important when compared with heavenly treasures. It is often not true that a particular possession is immoral or unapproved by God. Neither is it always the case that a Christian does not have the money to buy said possession. It is often simply the case that Christians think on a different plane and do not feel that they need those possessions, for they are defined by who they are, not what they have. They just do not feel the need to compete with the world for the possessions of the world. Therefore, Christians will miss out on many things they would like to have. Our study has been to answer the question, what will you miss by being a Christian. While we have found what Christians will miss, we've not defined what a Christian is. Well, very simply, a Christian is one who obeys Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," John 14:15. Can you imagine one claiming to be a Christian who refused to do something that Jesus said he needed to do? Jesus clearly stated some things that directly affect one's relationship with him. He said, "If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins," John 8:24. He also said, "Except you repent, you will all likewise perish," Luke 13:3-5. He further stated, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven," Matthew 10:32. This same Jesus also said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. Each one of these steps moves one closer in his relationship with Jesus to the point that he is saved when he is baptized. Here is when a person becomes a Christian. So now, there are four answers to the question of this study. As a Christian, you will miss out on many things that are really fun. You will miss out on a life filled with easy decisions. You will miss out on soft and light burdens. And you will miss getting a whole bunch of things you might like to have. However, there is one more thing you miss by being a Christian. By being a faithful Christian, you will also miss an eternity in a devil's hell. With that in mind, the trade-off doesn't seem so bad, does it?